I'm so glad that you could join me, because the message I have today is near and dear to my heart, and I hope it will become so also to you. In 2 Timothy, we read 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, why is it with Christians? And when I say Christians, I mean the saved, the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Why is it that, not because you go to a certain church or for any other reason, but simply because you believe and have a desire to serve the Lord in truth every day of your life. Why is it that we're, or your, or whoever, are none of His? You do all that, yet you're none of His. You go to church, you pray, you walk an aisle, you whisper sweet nothings in the ears of those who will listen to you, yet you don't belong to Him, you're none of His. We bear the name, but He took the blame and suffered the shame. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for this opportunity to deliver this message. I pray, Lord, that all who hear it, that their ears will be unstopped, their heart will be open, Lord, that they'll receive a blessing. Now understand, Lord, the need to come quickly to Thee, for the time is short. Tomorrow is promised to no one. O Lord, give me utterance, Lord. Give me wisdom. Help me to be faithful to Thy word, for it's in Jesus' name and for His sake that I pray. Amen. Now over in Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now Jesus wasn't just talking to Himself. He wasn't talking to hear Himself speak. No. These are powerful words for anyone to say and mean. Simply put, Jesus is telling us if we come to Him laden down with whatever burdens we may have, physical, financial, spiritual, if we're depressed, if we're lonely, if we're tired, bored, anything, if we believe and trust in Him according to the Scriptures, and guess what? He has promised to give us rest. Rest from our burdens. Rest from our trials. Rest from our weariness. Rest from our financial woes. Rest from our sickness. If you don't, then you're just like a fish out of water. Now that's the title of my message today. Fish out of water. Is that you? Is that you? Is that how you feel? If so, then please keep listening. Now, I'm a senior citizen. I've been a senior for a few years. And I live in a modest two-room basement apartment with my dear sweet wife, Catherine. We've been married a lot of years, and we are both of the Christian faith. In fact, we came to know the Lord in about the same time, even before we were married. When we moved into our apartment where I am presently 8 years ago, after moving from the East Coast, we took with us our desire to continue to help the sick and dying children throughout the world. Now, why the children? Because it's the children who always seem to suffer the most. It's the children who are so vulnerable, so helpless, so abused. When Jesus was on this earth, He made it clear that whatsoever we do unto the little children, we do unto Him. Now, we never had a house of our own, but we had a choice. Do for the children. Do for the children, or do for ourselves. God has been so good to us. Through His love and His mercy, He sustained us through every situation. What a loving God we serve. Praise be unto His holy name and to His Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten. Twice, God has healed me of two types of cancer and has continued to strengthen me so that I may carry on the work He has called me to do. Every once in a while, because of our faith, trials will come our way. And even though that old devil knows he can't have us, he still kicks at our heels and causes us to stumble from time to time. And when that happens, that's when I begin to feel like a fish out of water. Oh yes, even those who are saved can sometimes feel that God has turned His back on us. But He hasn't. He hasn't. Look at Job, how he must have felt when all went wrong in his life. But he said, "Yet in the flesh will I see God." Wow. Oh. Being a Baptist fundamentalist with a strong attachment to the Word of God, which I believe, which I earnestly believe is in the King James Bible, and witnessing the continual falling away of weak-kneed Christians, it can be so discouraging at the best of times. Leaving a small Baptist church that they perhaps were saved in, that they dedicated their life to Christ through, to go to a big contemporary church where the Word is watered down and the world is exonerated, exalted. The survival rate, I'm afraid, is not good for small independent Baptist churches these days. But Christ knows that. And Christ will tend to things according to His own perfect will. Only by prayer and supplication have we been able to let our requests be made known unto God. And almost daily do I hear another King James Baptist church going under, falling to the enemy. In fact, I've recently heard of my home church down east, where I was saved, also giving up the ghost and closing the doors. You know, it saddens me greatly. That's why God has laid on my heart what this message is all about. A fish out of water. A fish out of water. When you take a fish out of water, it dies. When you take a believer out of Christ, he changes. He changes so greatly, you would hardly believe he was still a Christian, if he is at all. Unlike in the olden days when Christ was king, now with hundreds of new Bibles turning the Word of God into a maze of compromise, the would-be Christian has opted for an easy read without the threat of hell to contend with. And it seems that old devil is becoming quite the hero to a lot of so-called Christians. It's gotten to the point where it's impossible to tell the sheep from the goats. You know, the Word of God warns us to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And no more is this evident than among the King James churches of today. The devil has done such a work on us today that many of us wear the same uniform as the enemy. It's almost impossible to separate or fully distinguish who's who anymore. today's Christian, and I use the term loosely, today's Christian can in no way be fully recognized as a child of the King, it would seem. Most walk, talk, dress, and follow the entirety of the world's mandate. I see them come and go all the time. They're at our doors. They're in our midst. They're at our doors. They're away from our midst. If a new hairstyle is in fashion, you'll see it in church. Elders and pastors included. New hairdos. New body piercing. New tattoos. It's all there, neatly wrapped in a cloak of Christianity. Why? So they can be identified with the world. Because the world is doing it, and they don't want to be separated from the world. And you know what they do? They use Christ. Well, I have to go into the world if I'm going to preach the gospel, do you? Oh, yes, you do. But you don't go into the world and partake of the things of the world. You give them the gospel. You tell them about our Lord. You don't become like them. You want them to become like Christ. Oh. In a new line of clothing, or if a new line of clothing becomes fashionable, it will find its way inside the Christian church. If a new dialogue hits the scene, it will soon hit your local Christian church. Phrases like, hey, cool, no problem, awesome, and so on. Awesome? I go into a restaurant and say, here's a $2 tip. The waitress said, awesome. I say, the food was good, thank you. The waitress says, awesome. Awesome. No problem. I say, how are you doing today? No problem. Oh, I'd like to pay my bill now. No problem. Sure is a nice day, huh? No problem. Awesome. Cool. When asked what's wrong with wearing shredded t-shirts, holy jeans, and race car jackets to church, I responded by saying, nothing, if that's all you have to wear. Otherwise, what would you wear to visit the Queen of England? What would you wear if you were going to have an audience with the Queen of England? If you say, well, the best I could find, or borrow, or rent, or buy, or whatever. Well then, isn't your professed King of Kings and Lord of Lords even above the royalty of this world? Something to think about. How often have you heard someone say, oh, you go to that church? I hear they're pretty strict there, right by the book, huh? To which I reply, well, what book is that, sir? If you're referring to the Word of God, we try to keep in mind that the King James Bible is there for our admonition and to guide us through our lives. Oh, they say, King James, is that still being printed? To which I reply, it's the preserved Word of God. When all other Bibles have gone into the fire, and they will one day, the preserved Word of God, the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of Almighty God will prevail and still be there. Kind of legalistic, he said. Old fashioned too, ain't it? I mean, people don't talk like that anymore. To which I replied, God does. How many people attend your church, he asked. Oh, around 50 or so, 60 on a good night. We got nearly 1,000 at our church, he said. Oh, great, great. All saved, are they? What's that? What's what? Saved. Is that what you said? Saved? Yeah. Oh, I don't know if they're that or not. All I know is they're all Christians. Oh, give me a break. The dialogue you just heard is typical of many new evangelical churches around today. It seems that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. 2 times in recent years, I attended a church aside from my own. One was a Baptist church in Orlando, Florida. Thousands in attendance. Uh-oh, I thought. Once inside, I was really, really impressed by the architecture. Kind of like when I was a Catholic, in a Catholic church. Although they didn't have all those idols around the walls. I recall how quickly the people or the masses filled the place. Looking about for a cross or a podium, I found nothing to signify its relationship to God. Nothing. And when the band began doing their lengthy opening act, all I could think of was, how do I get out of here? Oh man, where's the exit? When I finally did get outside and find myself alone, for the people I was with remained inside, while I simply lost my bearings and could not locate our vehicle where it was parked. Again, I felt like a fish out of water. And even though I was directionless about finding the vehicle, I managed to retain my sanity until the others finally come out and led me to the van at the other side of the church parking lot. But a quarter mile away, it was a virtual nightmare. The other Baptist church I temporarily attended, near where we live in Canada, was also into the new evangelical scene. The pastor was a very casual speaker and dresser. Oh, he talked about the word for about 15 minutes or so. After about 40 minutes of contemporary gig, you know, that was the only time I ever heard the rock version of Amazing Grace. Yeah. I guess if I may quote an old familiar proverb, though not from the good book, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But the final straw that sent me reeling towards the exit was when I determined that many of the 300 plus members were trying to follow the services using almost as many different Bibles or versions of the Bible. God is not the author of confusion. Well, I guess I lasted about 6 months before I found the exit for good. For good. So here it was again, a fish out of water. The Word of God says, only what's done for Christ will last. In Romans 3:23, we're told, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, to which many Christians today might respond, oh, not anymore. Well, not anymore. I ask you, hasn't Christ been shamed enough because of us? Hasn't Christ been shamed enough because of us? The same Baptist church I was holding that I was attending those couple of months, the same Baptist church was holding a golf tournament. And me being an old duffer, I figured I could use the fellowship and the fun. So I joined the foursome and everything looked great, and I thank God for the time of fellowship as we began our tour around the course. At the first tee, nobody said an opening prayer. So I prayed inwardly myself, said my own. By the second tee, someone in my foursome was smoking something. By the eighth hole, they were into the booze. By the ninth, I was out of there. Gone. Out. If I hadn't seen it for myself, I would have definitely had trouble believing it. This was the church I had chosen to make my own. The so-called Christian lifestyle, combined with the rock music and the mass confusion over Bibles, well, it had the Lord kicking my butt all the way to the exit. I never returned. Now, please, understand, I place myself above no man, and I'm as big a sinner as any. But as long as the Holy Spirit has given me direction and strength, and the Lord is blessing my life, then I will do my utmost through His grace to walk that path. I've come a long way in what was once a religious quest to get to know God better. A long way. Born from a mixed marriage, spiritually speaking, with my mom being a Protestant of sorts and my dad a non-practicing Catholic, I was forced to attend a Catholic convent for several years, and I attended the Catholic Church and was learning things that were very harsh about the nunnery and the church. They were overwhelming at times. I was totally brainwashed into believing that Catholicism was the only true religion. And yes, I witnessed some of the brutality the nuns were forced to inflict upon the very young who were given over to the convent due to parental problems at home. And I was completely gullible to the outlandish Vatican-inspired propaganda films and extracurricular activities regarding Mary and hell and purgatory and sainthood. Let me conclude my frame here, my frame of thought, by saying, yes, there is much to be concerned about where Islamic terrorism abounds. However, be wary, be warned, be wise. Islam and Catholicism have more in common than you may realize. I urge you, know who the real enemy is. Do you know all you should know about those you do know? Do you know all you should know about those you do know? Think about it. Or do you sometimes feel like a fish out of water? Let's make this clear, people. God wasn't talking about fish when He said, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." This is one of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. It is a Scripture that has sent many a pastor packing and heading for the hills. Why is that, you ask? Well, since you ask, because it's a verse that cannot be misinterpreted. Its meaning is clear as sunlight. You cannot alter its meaning. God said it. God meant it. God commands it. A great difficulty that arises from such a verse of Scripture is the last five words. And I will receive you. And I will receive you. Pretty clear, isn't it? Let me repeat it just so you can have no mistakes about it. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from among who? From among the world. The blasphemers, the God-haters, the Christ-rejectors. That's who. In other words, God is saying to us, if we are to serve Him, then we must become like fish out of water. Not in God's pond, but in the world's pond. You see, since the devil claimed ownership of this vast ocean we live in, the only way we can escape his evil rulers is to head for shore and come out of his cesspool of sin. Until that day, God hath appointed unto his Son to come hither and receive us unto himself. It's called the rapture. We are to hold fast to the clefts in the rock and not allow ourselves to slip back into the slimy undertow of sin. Now, this is where the heartaches begin. What exactly is it that the Lord wants us to come out from among? Well, like I said, the sin of the world. So let's just look at a few. If we are truly saved, then the indwelling Holy Spirit, you may or may not know, will show us right from wrong and guide us and give us the strength until such times as all those old things are passed away. You know, we used to do before we got saved, before we repented. In other words, those things that you used to do, you lose interest in them. You know, like partying with your unsaved friends, hanging out with the ungodly, partaking of their devices, such as gambling and pornography, and chasing the opposite or the same sex around. Now, from the outside, looking in, you might think that giving up such a lifestyle is next to impossible. That's what I thought before I got saved. But not so. But not so. God is able. Once the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, that's after you're saved, he also helps you to not only recognize sin, but also to lose interest with it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God. That's what it's all about, people. Salvation, getting saved it's not some quick fix. Although once the faith factor kicks in, you are instantly sealed onto the day of redemption. However, don't forget, as long as you're still in the flesh, that corruptible old flesh will continue to be in arrears. But the Holy Spirit of God, which he sends to you, will guide you into all righteousness. And because Christ is in you, that old sinful nature will be revealed, exposed, and in the end, dealt with when Jesus comes to call us home. It's then that the old flesh, the body, will be changed like unto his glorious body, from corruptible to incorruptible. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now back to separation. Well, what about sports? How do sports figure in? Should you join a football or other professional club where there's bound to be evil deeds and lots of blasphemy and cussing? How about all these sports heroes who profess to be Christians? Are they where God would have them to be? Take national football player Tim Tebow, for example. Whenever he scores, he goes down on one knee and gives thanks to God, right there before the masses, the fans, and the Lord. Well, I guess the real question is, will his testimony on the field and before the press be pleasing to God? And how many others who are playing for self and self-esteem and team recognition, will they sense their faith has become a stumbling block to their fans as more and more fans turn against the cause of Christ? Will they? What will they do? Perhaps we conclude simply that being a pro athlete is no different than any other job, then assuredly it will seem all right before God. Or is Tim Tebow, is Tim a fish out of water? Huh? We must go back to 2 Corinthians 6:17. What does the Word of God say? And remember, it's the Word of God that has the preeminence. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Scriptures, you must ask yourself, what is it there for? Therefore, come out from among them. Among who? Among all that is unclean. Are all these Christian athletes being disobedient? Back to 2 Corinthians. And be ye separate. How can you be separate and still be among them? Are you thinking of, I can be separate by my faith, but yet be among them? Well, if you're among them for the purpose of witnessing to them, and chances are the coach will tell you to shut your mouth or get off the team, you will suffer for it. You will. And look at the rest of the verse. And touch not the unclean thing. I'm not talking about the football or the hockey puck or the baseball. And God here really is talking about a dirty football? I don't think so. Or a hockey puck. He's talking about those you mingle with. Touch not the unclean thing. In other words, touch not their lifestyle that are not saved, who are Christ rejectors. That's the unclean thing. They who are not saved, who have rejected Christ. And we're not talking about a shower. It's a spiritual application, a spiritual one. Then look at the very last part of verse 17, and here's a clincher. And I will receive you. Am I mistaken, or is God saying that unless you come out from among them, then he will not receive you? And doesn't the same words apply to all team sports where there's blasphemy and unbelief? Even at one's regular job, whether it's digging ditches or counting money, or let's take a look at the workplace. When I first got saved, I was working at a car dealership as a salesman. It was a small dealership with only a handful of salespeople, and although I was the only born-again Christian among them, and the fact that their English had to be proper for business sense, I found no problem working among them in order to feed my family. That is, until one day, the boss, who was really a nice sort of guy from a worldly perspective, well, he knew I had left the Catholic Church when I got saved, where he just so happened to be a member. And I had become, after leaving, a born-again Christian. Being a new Christian, I was anxious to hand out tracts and brochures and all about the need for salvation. I remember that one of the tracts I had left in his office, on his desk, had something to say about a train on its way to heaven. That was the gist of the track, taking the train to heaven. It was a train to heaven. Well, to make a long story short, he built a case around it and shamed me in front of my peers to the point where I couldn't bear to work among them any longer. I didn't want to, actually. I politely told him so. And he gave me a job out back instead of being a salesman washing cars. I warned him, though, not to mock the Lord. But when he got together with the others, they persecuted me to no end. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Shortly thereafter, while my boss was walking home from work, his heart exploded in his chest, and he dropped dead on the sidewalk. Soon thereafter, I left the car dealership, got a job up the road at another dealership, as you guessed it, a car washer. I knew the sales manager quite well, and when the time was right, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to give forth the gospel. which is my intent. He pretended to listen to me. Great, but it was just to be polite. And it seemed obvious the results they wouldn't be good. Several weeks later, just to show me his independence from what I had told him, he up and joined the Masons, Freemasonry. I had a tape on Freemasonry at home, so I loaned him a cassette explaining all about Freemasonry, which he returned rather quickly with his facts, and informed me he would be staying with the Masons. Okay? For weeks we prayed for him. That's an old veil. He was dead set in his ways. And since that's where many of his friends were gathered, he figured they couldn't all be wrong. Well, about 3 weeks later, he too dropped dead from a heart attack. Following these two recent deaths, well, I concluded that maybe if I had not tried to convert them, they'd both be alive today, although I couldn't be sure. God said His word would not return to him void. I wonder, since God knew that they were going to die soon, that He was using me to direct them to a saving knowledge of the gospel. That's what I'd like to think. They heard the word, so they are without excuse. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Seeing as how we're talking about fish being out of water allowed me to set up a few scenarios just to see whose side you're really on. Ever attend a gay pride parade? If the answer is yes, why? For support? Ever attend a Santa Claus parade? Why? To show your kids that you believe in Santa so they can also? What about a ball game, hockey game? Or am I being too legalistic? Tell me, is it okay for a Christian to stay home from a sports event and then watch it on TV? Or is that the same as being there? Well, if you're sitting in the bleachers where the language can sometimes be pretty blue and liquor is being sloshed about, not to mention their attire, wouldn't it be better to stay at home where you're not in the midst of all this? Sports events have been around a long time. And I'd say that for the most part, not only can they be good, clean fun and give one plenty of exercise the way these events used to be. However, have you noticed that? Have you noticed that which was once good, clean, honest, competitive fun? How now it's changed into a dog-eat-dog affair? And when they do win, it's always, me, 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 look at me, look what I've done, and their mouth is hanging open down to their chest. Or do they smash their hockey stick against the goalpost and curse all the way to the dressing room? Is it any wonder why God says to come out from among them? What do you think? What do you think God thinks? Is it not more pleasing to God to be a fish out of water than to wallow in the devil's sewer? Maybe we should count our blessings. Maybe we should spend more time walking with God. Oh, it's true. Oil and water do not mix. And neither do the children of God with the children of Belial. Get the message? Huh? You know what God expects? Cut and comb your hair and dress appropriately for the occasion and not for the world. Your testimony to the lost and dying world is the way you walk and the way you talk. Be different. Christ. When sheep and goats walk together, it can sometimes be hard to tell them apart. Have mercy.